We're doing our class on the Jewish home, and our subject tonight is how to be likable, right? How to be likable. So there's the famous philosophical question, is something likable because it is liked, or is it liked because it is likable? In other words, where's the cause, where's the effect? But I want us to discuss how we can be likable people. What makes us likable? You want to be liked by your wife. So you think, well, we dated. She liked me. We got married. She'll like me forever. Wrong. That's not what's going to happen. You're going to get married, and after some time, you'll suddenly discover that it's not so simple. So how do we make ourselves likable? Now, this is true for all of life. It's not only true for marriage. These are tools that can be used with other people, and they are very useful. So the first rule of likability, and it's called the golden rule of likability, is we like people that make us feel good. We like people that make us feel good. It's a very important rule. The nature of man and woman is to like people who make them feel good. So Dale Carnegie, in his book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, he stresses certain points. He says, why do people like the dog? Why is the dog man's best friend? Because the dog welcomes you with a smile. The dog is cuddly and always happy to see you. So the first component of being likable is expressing to someone else that you're happy to see them. When I was a kid, there was this song, sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name and they're always glad you came. So it was a song about a bar.
it makes sense now.
You said expressing to others that you make them... That
you're happy to see them. Yeah. Expressing it in a real way. So the first thing is, if I can express to someone else that I'm happy to see them, the smile, Shamay Omer, Evem Kabel et Kol Adam B'Sever Panim Yafot, greet every person with a warm countenance, make them feel welcome. So that's the first rule of likability. So we said the golden rule is, people like those who make them feel good. I was once at a Shabbos table, and this was a house that I had visited numerous times. And when you visit a house numerous times, you notice that certain conversations just repeat themselves. You ever notice that? So at this house, I noticed a certain conversation repeat itself. They'd mention a certain family, and the lady of the house would say, oh, I remember him, he visited our house for one night. And he's such a nice guy. And I remember this conversation. This happened before when I was there. She remembers him, and he's such a nice guy. She remembers him, and he's such a nice guy. So I listened, and I wondered, how many times did this guy visit their house? Turns out only once. How many times did she meet this person? Turns out only once. How old was she when she met this person? She was a kid. She must have been 7 or 8 years old. I was there at the conversation taking place. She was already a married woman with kids. And why was he such a nice guy? Because when she was a child, he came to the house and he spoke to the family. And every question she answered, he turned to the parents and said, she's brilliant. Until today, she's already a married woman with kids, and she remembers that good feeling that he gave her because he must have reacted a few times to what she said and said she's brilliant. So, I don't know, I guess this person didn't have too many people who told her that when she was a kid. Or this person was able to say it and convince her. But the fact of the matter is, she remembers it years later. Turns out she knows nothing about this guy. He visited her parents' house once when she was a kid. But that one time during the conversation numerous times, he was impressed with her. So still today, she has that good feeling. He must be such a nice guy. She has no idea. She really has no clue. She knows that he made her feel good. So then he's a nice guy. So that's a rule. We like people who make us feel good. So when we meet people, how can we make them feel good? We'll get to that in a second. But if we would walk into marriage and ask ourselves, how can I make my wife feel good? Then that would be an amazing formula to build our marriage. Meaning very often we have all kinds of formulas about what we want to build and what's fair and what's right and what we can expect and what we can expect to give. But if we're looking for a formula that will help us, we have to ask ourselves, am I making her feel good? When I come home, what are my comments? Why did the kids leave the toys lying around? Didn't we agree you'd fill the gas? Oh, there's nothing left over from dinner? Oh, there's just leftovers from Shabbos food, which I didn't like anyways. Didn't I tell you I was coming home without eating dinner? Wait a second. How good is she going to feel? If this is a guiding principle to how people will like us, so then it can help us in all our conversations. And let's take another simple example. Did you ever have it where someone came and asked you a question? You started answering, and they cut you off, and then they continued talking for the next 5 minutes, and they didn't even hear your answer? I have it all the time. What?
They ask you questions all the time. So.
No, but you didn't. I have it all the time that people ask something, and then they spend the rest of the conversation talking, so they're never going to hear the answer.
Why are you asking the question for them?
Oh. So Shlomo HaMelech says the fool wants to hear himself. But what we see is that everyone wants to hear themselves. It's a rule.
What did Shlomo mean when he said only the fool wants to hear?
Because the fool lets that override any ability to gain any wisdom. Because, there is that basic desire. Everyone wants to hear themselves. So, if you're going to have a conversation with someone else, how can you make them like you? Make the conversation focused on them. When you call home, you speak to your mother. What does the conversation revolve around? Do you ever ask your mother what her day was like? Everything's okay. A second later, she wants to hear what was going on in your life. Wait a second. She also has a life. Try talking to her about her life. She won't tell you. But you feel comfortable spending the whole conversation telling her about your life, and you walk away from the conversation and she's happy and you're happy. Yeah, that's a mother. But you know what? Most people walk around and they're dying to have someone listen to them and be impressed with them. Most people walk around and they wish there can be someone out there who can tell them, you're great, you're amazing. And if you can share with someone, if you can make someone feel good, if you can show someone you appreciate what you're doing, you can really accomplish a lot. So, 3 weeks ago, I was on my way, and the whole old city was closed because there was Ramadan. And they imported over 100,000 Arabs. I didn't know this. 3 weeks ago, they allowed 100,000 Arabs into the old city. Did you guys know this? The media didn't even report it. 100,000 Arabs. It blew me away, the number. They allowed buses with 100,000 Arabs into the old city. I didn't know you could fit in 100,000 Arabs into the old city. That's like a number that I don't understand how our streets handled that. Buses and buses and buses of Arabs were allowed into the old city from all over. from Gaza, from Ramallah, from all over, right? It didn't even hit the media. We're always the bad guys. How do I know this? Because my wife's grandfather was trying to get into the old city. He's a Holocaust survivor, and he can't walk. And they closed off the whole section, and a Jew, right? They closed off the whole section around the old city, reaching very far out. They wouldn't let any cars come in. So I called my in-laws, and I said, I hear you're trying to get into the old city. They said, yeah. I said, I'm not far from there. They said, you can't get in. I said, why don't we go talk to the police? They said, we tried. I said, no, let's try going to talk to them. So they said, no, they're not letting us in. So I went to the same traffic light they had gone to. And I asked, who's the policeman in charge here? And they showed me. What was the first thing I did? I took off my hat. I put away all religious artifacts other than my yarmulke. I didn't put on turban, no. Because another rule in likability is that we like people who are like us. If you're going to show that you're very different than someone else, or sometimes show a person you're better than someone else, then they're going to have a harder time connecting you. You want to connect to someone, be as close to them as possible. This is a rule in all of life. The more people feel you're like them, the more they can connect to you. That's why there are some lecturers who begin their lecture with making a mistake. Because people feel like if they can correct you, you're like them, then they can connect to you. So I didn't want to seem too different. I took off my jacket, I took off my hat, I took off anything religious, I took off my tie, I put everything in my wife's baby carriage. I said to my wife, you know, give me 1 minute. I put the stuff there, my wife was with the baby carriage, and the baby, and my stuff, and I walked over to the policeman. I didn't ask anything about my wife's grandfather yet. I said, hi, you guys are working really hard today. He looks at me and says, you bet. I said, since what hour are you here in the sun? He says, I'm here in the sun since 5 o'clock in the morning. I said, why do you have to be here so many hours? He says to me, 100,000 Arabs came to the old city today. I said, what? He said, yeah, 100,000 Arabs. And we are working like dogs. I said, you know, that's very impressive. It's Friday afternoon. I know you have a family too. And it's kol hakavod to you. He says, yeah. So he got recognition, which he deserved. And then we started talking. And he was happy telling me about what a hard day he had in the sun. And after a few minutes, I said to him, you know, I know you have rules here. And I know it's you might not be able to help me at all. But I'm trying to figure out, my wife's grandfather is an old man, he's a Holocaust survivor, and he's supposed to get to the old city today. Now he came up to this light twice and was told that he can't get in right now. He has to wait a number of hours till almost Shabbos. I was wondering, what can we do? Is there something we can do to help them or not? So he says to me, of course, what are you talking about? Tell him, he's going in. There's nothing to talk about, tell him to come right back, he's in. Took them like 15 minutes to get back there. They were in. So then they asked me, how'd you do that? We spoke to him twice. I said, I didn't talk to him about what we needed. I first connected with him. What's going on in his life? If we are willing to hear what's going on by someone else, if we're willing to listen, empathize, connect, we can make friends. The policeman is still... I didn't board the car with them. I waved goodbye, and then I went back to schmooze with the policeman and make him feel good. I didn't do it for nothing. I didn't just come to use him. No. I really appreciate what he does. He's really working hard in the sun. He really deserves a pat in the back. And he felt good at the end of the conversation. He waved. My in-laws brought me ices. They had in the car. I said, I need 2. I went and I brought him one. And then I said, do you want me to make a bracha for both of us? He said, yeah. And then we sat there sipping ices together. I wasn't coming to use him. There was real connection. And I came back after I got what I needed out of him, theoretically, and I still spent a few minutes with him. And then I wished him a good job, and he wished me a good job, and we left as friends. But I was using these principles. And I definitely had a goal. I wouldn't have gone to speak to him if I didn't have a goal. I would have went on my day. It is Friday afternoon. likability. We want to be likable. We have to make the other person feel good. And one of the tools we can use is have conversation about the other person. Let's hear what's going on in their life. Most of us are very bad at this. And this creates explosions in relationships. One area that it creates explosions is the first 15 minutes that a husband walks through the front door. All day long, the wife has been building up inside of her all the different things she wants to share with him. He's had his day. He walks through the front door, she saves that special sour look just for him. You won't believe what a day I had. So he walks through the front door to World War III. Sometimes it can be worse. If the kids are still up, he walks through the front door, she hands him the baby, he's yours. Oh, hi. What just happened? She shared with him what's going on in her life. Can he be accepting of that? Or does he need to share with her what's going on in his life? Well, hello, good evening, how are you, and how was your day? Pause, wait a second, she's had a hard day. So those first minutes when a husband walks through the front door, or a wife walks through the front door, those are minutes that can very often define the rest of the evening, and they're very hard to reconcile, because we have very conflicting needs in those minutes. Rule of likability, make the other person feel good. Can I make the other person feel good? I want us to end with a practical point. Your friend went to a party. This happened to me. And he drank. And after he drank, he wants to drive. What do? So you try to talk to him. And you tell him, Jack, it's a bad idea. I'm okay. Don't worry about it. Jack, man, my luck, that was nothing. Believe me, I've done much more. It's really not a problem. Stop getting all excited. You know you're too uptight. Have a drink. So you're a little nervous. You see him walking to the car. You see it's a bad idea. What do you do? Let's rewind. It's before the night out. And you ask your friend, are you going to drink? He says, I think so. And you say, are you going to drive home? And he says, probably. Now what do you do? Jack, it's a bad idea. Leave me alone, I didn't ask you. Jack, you're not only risking your life, you're risking other people's lives. Did I ask you? Are you my mother? Goodbye. What do you do?
It's because I care for you, my friend.
Okay, care for me tomorrow. Leave me alone.
You do whatever you have to do to get him out of the car.
Okay, you grab him by the shirt.
Yeah, you shouldn't make it hangry. Yeah, okay. It only gets worse.
Okay, I didn't say that's not a last resort. But let's say I'm the friend and you're the guy who had a drink. I wouldn't succeed, right? One knock from you and I'm on the floor. What do you do?
So in terms of the likability, you have a conversation with him and you try to get on a human level with him.
It's interesting, already before they start to drink, to have a decision who is driving. When he doesn't want to give up his ID, try to get a key.
Okay.
Because at that moment still you can argue and say, at least give me the key, I will drive.
Okay.
It is possible for you to drive.
So I want to take another story. There's a gang war about to happen. You know the other gang got machine guns. And this gang is showing up with knives. And the story I'm about to tell you is real. I'll tell you the names at the end of the story.
Thanks.
No, I'll tell you the names. Maybe offline. Sorry. But I'll tell you the names of the people involved. So your friend is on the gang that's going to show up with knives. And you know that the other group has machine guns. So you sit down and talk to your friend and you say, buddy, you're going to die. And he says, we got a big group, we're not going to die. And you tell him, I'm telling you, they have machine guns. I have inside information, they're showing up to this fight with machine guns. You guys are showing up with machetes and knives. You're finished. And he says, ah, I hear you. I can't. I told the guys I'm coming. And you say, what do you say now? So if you're a regular guy, what you say is, are you crazy? You're going to die. I just told you they're showing up with machine guns. And what does he tell you? You don't understand. I'm one of the guys and I told them and we're all going. I can't goodbye. And he walks out on me. So if you're smart, what do you do? So you tell him, and this is what happened in the story. His girlfriend was the one who knew that the other side had machine guns. And she saw that she couldn't get him not to go. So she said, Hank. Okay, his name was An. Nice name, An. She says, An. That was his real name. I told you I'd tell you his name. She says, An. Let's drink a little bit. You have time. And she pours him some serious alcohol. And then she pours him another cup, and a third cup, and a fourth cup, and a fifth cup, and a sixth cup, and a seventh cup. And she keeps feeding him the drinks until she knocks him out. And he misses the warfare, and all his friends are dead. When he wakes up, there's not one man left of the gang. Exactly, that was the gang. Korach was the gang. On Ben Pelet, his wife tells him, the other side has machine guns. Moshe's shown up. They're all dead. And what does he say? But I promised the guys. Right? He's got a bazooka, right? They've got bazookas. RPGs, yes. But what does her husband tell her? How do you argue with that? She doesn't go head on. She does not go head on. Sometimes the key to success is realizing that the argument the other side is giving me, what they're telling me is not logical. It is, they're saying, this is my weakness. I can't do anything about it. This is my weakness. Try arguing with a person that's an alcoholic. You don't want to have that drink. I'm telling you, you don't. Leave me alone. You can't go head on with a person's weakness. Why is a woman compared to the moon? Yafa Chalevana. Why is she compared to the moon? Because it could be that a lot of what she does is reflect her husband. It could be that a lot of her light she gets from her husband. But you know what? She can shine it in the nighttime where he can't shine it. We have to strive to be the moon. To be able to see the positive in the other person where they don't see it. If we want to be likable, we have to be able to see and show the other person the light where they see darkness, where they feel like it's nighttime. So what did we discuss tonight? We discussed the golden rule of likability. We like those who make us feel good. We discussed the idea that we feel good when people are willing to talk to us about ourselves, when the conversation can be about what I want. We discussed the idea that we feel most comfortable with people who are similar to ourselves. If we come into a relationship and we try to find the meeting ground where we're like the other person, that's where we can build a relationship. We discussed the idea that sometimes there's this conflict. I want to say, you want to say, I want to say, you want to say. I went on a date. I said to the girl, "Da'agav levish yashchena." She says to me, the pasuk says, "Yesichena." I said, okay, she's wrong. But I wasn't going to correct her. What did she gain by correcting me? She felt like she has an existence. She corrected me. What would I gain by correcting her? Nothing. I need to tell her she's wrong. I could have said, why don't you look it up and tell me on the next date? But what's the point? Again, she feels good now. She corrected me. Good. Okay, fine. So she asked me once on a date, the same girl, how do you stand it when you hear a shiur and the person misquotes a pasuk? She said to me, I sometimes can't stand anymore and I correct them. So I said, same girl. I said to her, now she's a genius, don't get me wrong. This girl, she's Baruch Hashem happily married, and not to me. but So I said to her, you know, it's funny. I've been working on myself to never correct people. Not to say that. I don't find the hardship is in hearing them and how could they say the pasuk wrong. I find the hardship is in not saying anything. How could I smile and keep going with it? And I never told her she got the pasuk wrong. Because why? Why is that important? Yes, sir.
Isn't it better to correct somebody? Let's say you learn a language and you're speaking all the time wrong, so it's much, much better when someone corrects you. So that's the only way you can learn.
I let other people do the correcting. That's true. So let other people do the correcting.
Why don't you correct them? You
can hurt also somebody's feelings.
Why, yes.
Yeah, of course.
If you want
to
respect,
there are 300 people in this yeshiva. They'll correct them. Why do I have to correct them?
What? Because maybe everyone else is thinking that.
I haven't seen that to be the case.
If you do it in a respectful manner, it's not good. Like,
if
you do it like respectfully.
I didn't say it's not good. I asked why is it important that I should be the one to correct them. So that's the final point we discussed. The idea that being able to be the moon, being able to shine a light where people very often don't see the good in themselves, to be able to see the good in themselves, that our part of our likability is not only listening to other people, but also being able to see the good in them and strengthen that good in them and building that good in them. And through that, we all grow. We grow through hearing that we are positive. By mistake, I wrote someone that they should go and welcome the tzaddik. I don't remember who was coming, and I wrote them an SMS, could you please be there to welcome this tzaddik who's coming? And I either miswrote the SMS or the person misread the SMS, and they thought I was saying they're the tzaddik, they should go welcome the person. So I showed up, and the person was beaming, and I didn't know why they were beaming. And then they say to me, you know, I think that's the first time someone ever called me a tzaddik. So thank God I caught myself. Like I didn't say anything. But later on, I looked over the SMS, but shocked me how positive made the person feel, how happy the person was. We feel good with people that make us feel good. If we want to be liked by someone, we should look for opportunities to make them feel good about themselves.